So today we're going to be talking about how to generate surefire saleable ideas for magazine articles. And I know that we've talked a lot in our other webinars about different ways to break down your pitches or your trips into pitches, different ways to write the perfect pitch, all of those things. But what I found, especially when I was first starting out, is that by starting my pitch thought process with what magazines are looking for, rather than what I've already done, I had a much, much higher success rate. And if you read the blog post or the email newsletter about this call, you heard a story that I'm going to tell again during the call about why I think that's really great. But today what we're going to do is we're going to look, like I said, at why pitching magazines and idea can help us achieve better results. And we're going to look at that in the context of what really is the purpose of a pitch in reality, because it's not what you think, and what the different sections of your pitch should be, and how if you start thinking of your article idea from the magazine itself, you've already written most of your pitch before you even have to think of a specific article idea. And then we're going to quickly just look through the structure of the travel magazine database, because I know that's something that some of you asked about. And then we're going to do some live demos of how to reverse engineer ideas to fit magazine sections. And so thanks so much to you guys that are putting in magazines over here. We have so many magazines, I can't always remember which ones we have, but any ones that are in here, I'll at least look up. And if we don't have them, I'll add them to the list for our writers to start adding soon as well. All right, so before we get started with looking at the magazines, I want to just talk quickly about what is the real purpose of a pitch, because it's not to get an assignment. Here's a quote that I love and I use all the time, and if you've been on other webinars with me or in live workshops, you've probably seen it, but this is from Jordan Heller, who is the editor-in-chief of Hemispheres and also United Rhapsody magazine and Amtrak's new The National, which has replaced the previous Amtrak Arrive as their magazine, and it's a cool opportunity for national level long form articles as well. So he said, I once had a guy call me and he gave me a one word pitch. He said Macau. And that's not really a pitch, is it? It's not a narrative, it's just a place. And you know, this is sort of an extreme example, but I love to remind you guys of it because I think we all get really in love with our article ideas as we've conceived them. But those aren't always publishable for any magazine, and especially not the specific magazine you're pitching. And so that's why I really want to focus on sort of restructuring your magazine article idea thought process so that you're really grounding yourself, you're training your eyes, you're training your mind and your senses to look for ideas that are publishable. And we're going to look at three specific ways to do that later. Okay, and so the main purpose of the pitch is actually not to get the assignment, it's to start a conversation. So what this means is that while your pitch letter is pitching a specific idea, and I emphasize A as in one, as in you should never multiple pitch an editor that you haven't worked with. That's a big pet peeve of a lot of editors, so it just seems a bit, you know, choice oriented, one versus multiple, but it's just something that across the board magazine editors don't like to have multiple pitches from people they've already worked with, because they want to see that you have given them what you think is your best idea for them, which circles back to what I was going to say right now about the purpose of the pitch is to start a conversation about your ability to write for their magazine. So sometimes the first article that you pitch them, they accept. But the funny thing about that is that that can often end up with you writing just one article for the magazine because you don't feel confident that you completely understand the magazine or that you have a great rapport with the editor or all of these things because you didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to do some digging in conversation over email with the editor about what they're looking for. And so you don't have as much of a stick to them. And so often what I like is I tell people that the purpose of your pitch is to try to get a no. Because when an editor says no, if they say no, as in if they respond to you as opposed to not responding at all, they often tell you why. And if they don't tell you why, you can write them back and ask, and more than often they'll tell you. And when they tell you, they're going to give you information that helps with your next pitch. Okay? So the way that we start this very important conversation about what editors are actually looking for is to show the editor that we have good ideas in the first place. And what we mean by good ideas in this context is ideas that are actually publishable articles, as opposed to Macau, as opposed to biking in the Rockies. These are topics, not article ideas, okay? The second thing is to show the editor that you are professional, and that is accomplished by following specific pitching formats as well as by showing that you understand what a good idea is, okay? And then the most important thing is to show the editor that you understand his or her publication. And that's where pitching idea first really comes into play, because our idea is inherently grounded in the magazine. So from the get-go, our pitch is based around the idea that we know the magazine because we had to check out the magazine in order to write the pitch. So you always want to pitch to get a response, whether that's a yes or no. And we do that by showing the editor that we are professionals, that we have good ideas, and that we understand the publication. Because then they want to invest the time in helping you get it right, okay? Now, let's just look super, super quickly, and I've got a whole webinar on this. So if you haven't seen it, go check out our webinar on how to craft the perfect pitch. But all pitches, all good pitches are composed of three things. They're composed of an attention-grabbing lead. They're composed of a body that explains to the editor just as much as they need to know to ask you for more information. So what you're going to write in the smallest number of words possible, fewest number of words. So if it's, you know, a one-word sentence, that's great. If it's a top sort of your thesis and then a couple experiences you're going to include in the article, that's great. If you're going to do a roundup, you're going to say what the roundup is about and why it's important and a couple places you're going to mention in the roundup and then the fact that you visited there, okay? And then the last part is the I'm so great paragraph, which is why you are the one that should be writing this article for this magazine, okay? And so when we're writing the lead, this is something that I think a lot of people spend way too much, I mean, I know a lot of people spend way too much time on this, because they think they need to be artistic. But the thing is that when you pitch magazine first rather than idea first, your lead can actually write itself from the previous copy in the magazine. So if you're pitching a specific section of a specific magazine or even a feature, you can just look at the past iterations of that same section you're pitching and how the leads were formatted, and then you know what to write. So if this magazine favors leads, this is lead as the first paragraph or a couple paragraphs or sentence, depending on the length of the article. If this magazine favors leads for their features that start in media res, which means in the middle of a scene, then that means that you're going to find a powerful scene from your travel experience and start your pitch with a lead that is in media res. If this magazine favors leads for its like 1,000 word profile departments that start with a startling fact about the person or business being profiled, then that is how you will start your pitch. So when you're pitching idea first, not only is it easier to get ideas, but it's also much easier to write your leads, okay? Now, the middle paragraph, like I said, should not be everything but the kitchen sink. It should be only the super gist that the editor needs to know in order to assign you the article. But this is also a prime opportunity for us to show the editor that we understand the magazine. So what this means is if you're pitching something that has a very specific format, it's not up in the database, but I'm probably going to pull it up and show you a little bit later. I have one of our new writers is working on an entry for En Route, Air Canada's magazine, which I'm super excited to share with you. And they have a section called High and Low in the beginning of their magazine. And this takes one destination and looks at how you can do it on a splurge budget or on a basement bottom budget. And that's a very specific rubric. And they have different activities that they include. You know, they include a hotel, they include dining, they include activities. And so in the middle of your pitch, if you were to be pitching that, you would say, and I will include, and then you will list the things that you know that they include every single time, okay? Because that not only shows that you know what you're going to write if you get the assignment, but also that you have done your homework about how the magazine formats that section. Now, the last part of the pitch is the about you, the I'm so great paragraph. And this is the kind of thing where, again, people can spend a lot of time dwelling on what is or actually isn't important, And the thing is that this is another thing where the magazine can tell you how to do it. Not every magazine, so you can't get away with this all the time, but a lot of magazines have in the front, in the masthead, a section where they feature a couple of the contributors and they have little bios about them. So look at what the magazine has highlighted in the bios of the contributors that they featured. Those are the kind of biographical details that the magazine deems important, that the editors like to know about people. So that tells you the kind of things that you should include in your bio to show the editor that you're the right person to write for their magazine. All right, and so the last thing that makes a great pitch, even though it's kind of the first thing in terms of the editor's interaction with your pitch, is a great headline, okay? And the great headline should go in the subject line of your email. Again, one of the best ways to make an headline, a headline that's going to make the editor not only open your email, but think that you get their magazine, is to write a headline like the magazine has its headlines. So you check out for the section that you're writing. You know, perhaps it's Delta has a section called One City, Five Ways. So perhaps you say, pitch, One City, Five Ways, Seoul. You know, that would be the eventual headline of your article. But, you know, it can also, that one's pretty simple because it's just the name of a section. But there might be ones where, you know, some magazines like to have plays on words. So you make sure that the subject line of your email is a play on words. And these are all things that you figure out if you start your pitch with the magazine. All right. So we're going to dive into the database in a second. And please, please, please chime in on the questions. If you don't see the database, my next window pop up when I swap over. But before we do that, I just want to say we're going to look at three different ways to pitch idea first. And I want to emphasize that you can use these techniques whether you, and I didn't put on here after a trip, but you can use these techniques in advance of your trips to get assignments, which is really what they're great about, but you can use it whether you already have an itinerary or whether you, like I do this because I'm partially nomadic and a lot of other nomads can do this as well. You know, you're thinking about going somewhere for a month and you're sort of in the information gathering phase about what there is to do even in that section. And so you can use this type of pitching to figure out, do I want to go to this part of the country? Well, let me see what's there and let me see if I can get an assignment. And if I get an assignment, then I'll go there. But you can also use it if you're going to be on a press trip and you already have the itinerary. I just applied for one of the press trips for one of the upcoming TBEX conferences, and they have this druze, which is a type of, it's a subset of cuisine in Israel that I've had before in a restaurant here in New York. But I haven't had in Israel, and they have a special cooking and foraging experience. And so, you know, knowing that that is on the itinerary of this trip, I could pitch editors around that or pitch around another tour I know I'm going to be taking or something like that. So the three ways that we're going to look at how to use this sort of reverse magazine then idea, rather idea and then magazine technique, is something that I like to call the airport approach. And then we're going to look at the I want to pitch you method. So this is where we're going to look at the magazines that you guys have said that you want to pitch. And then the loaded gun prep technique. So the airport approach is the following. Often people are going to a destination or have gone to a destination, and they say they don't know what magazines will take that. And, you know, maybe they're thinking about hyper-regional magazines. Like I just, there's the press trips for the New York Times travel show coming up, and they're all very regional destinations in sort of central and upstate New York. And even my first thought when I was writing into the PR folks about where I was going to place the stories, I was thinking, well, New York Magazine, Hudson Valley Magazine, I was immediately thinking of the regional magazines. But what we often forget is that even very sort of out-of-the-way seeming places have these tiny, tiny airports that are often served by major airlines. And we can go on the website of the airline and figure out which airlines fly to this tiny, tiny destination that we want to feature, and then go pitch the airline magazines of that airline. Because what happens with editors who have this mandate like airlines to only cover a certain subset of destinations in the world, and you also have it with regional editors, like the editor of 5280, which is Denver's magazine, they do a lot of travel coverage, they have written about a lot of places to death. Like they have written about, you know, United has written about New York, like every single issue for like 7 years or something like this. And they would be so excited to have something that fits in their mandate of the places that they're able to cover because the airline flies there or, you know, it fits in the geographical area in which 5280, the Denver magazine, is distributed, but is new because they are not leaving their desks that often, especially if it's an international magazine like an airline magazine. They aren't regularly flying to every single airport served by their magazine. And so by giving them these very out-of-the-way things, you're actually doing them a favor. Okay, now the I want to pitch you method. The thing about this is we often say, and I think I'm even still guilty of this. I was definitely guilty of this when I first started, and I see this in a lot of your pitches, that you say, I want to pitch such and such magazine, and then you just take an idea out of your idea file and give it to them without matching it to a section. This is not the best way to break into your dream publications. The best way to break into your dream publications is to say, okay, my dream publication that I'm dying to write for has this very specific section, and I'm just going to pitch that section to death until the editor knows who I am and either gives me an assignment for this section or gives me another assignment. Literally, that is the best way I have ever seen to break into magazines that you're just dying to get into, is to just keep pitching highly focused ideas to get the editor's attention, and eventually they will say yes to one of them, I promise you. Or they will get back to you and explain why they're saying no, and then that'll help you get a yes in the end. Now, the other one that I personally really love, I call the loaded gun prep technique. And we talked about this in the live Pitchapalooza, and I see that we've got some people on here that are going to be in the January correspondence course of the Pitchapalooza as well. So what the loaded gun means is that you sort of carry around in your pocket, like on your phone or in your head, whatever, a list of certain magazine sections. They're very specific. So I talked about in the blog post and the newsletter for this webinar about how I pitched this T magazine, which has a very specific section where they profile 4 or 5 tea stores or places where you can have high tea in a given city or area. And, you know, once I got that first article, I sort of carried this around. And when I got to a city that I noticed had a certain concentration of tea places, I would say, okay, there's 3. Are there 5? Because then maybe I can put this together and pitch the editor. And so what the loaded gun technique is, it means that you sort of collect a couple of very specific sections and you have them with you when you travel. So this doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing in advance, but it also can help when you're doing, like I said, when you're making your own itinerary for a trip and you're looking around about what you might want to do. If you have in your head, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 sections of magazines that are very specific, knowing that if you find something that fits in that, you can pitch it to this magazine, that can help you also focus your trip planning a lot. And I know several of you, I'm trying to see who's on the call today, not all of you, but like a decent portion of you have your own blogs, and so you're probably accustomed to looking for things that fit into certain sections on your blog when you're planning trips. So this would, for people like that, be a very easy thing to start working into your travel planning. All right, guys, we're going to try to switch screens here, so bear with me. And in the meantime, while I'm doing that, it says that we should include the nut graph in the pitch. Okay, so for those of you who didn't know, this is a question about the structure of the pitch, and we do have a whole other webinar just about how to write the perfect pitch. But what the nut graph is, it's essentially like the distilled version, like the who, what, where, when, why. It's called the nut because it's sort of like the kernel of your story. So the nut graph is, in the way that I've described it, it's that middle paragraph. So we do need what is essentially the nut graph. In travel articles, it's a little different. You don't typically do it quite as who, what, where, when, why oriented. But like I said, you do need to say what you're going to do. If it's a roundup, you need to mention 1 or 2 places. So now you should all be seeing the database. Okay. Before I go into talking about the 3 different styles that we were talking about before, I'm just going to do a quick tour of the database because I know some of you have asked for this, and several of the folks on here do have database access and are probably would love to hear some more tips about how to use it. So there's a couple things that we are going to implement before we jump for the new pricing on January 2nd that aren't in here quite yet, but I'll just tell you about them now. So there's a couple different ways that you can search for articles in the database. So when you first log in, this is the screen that you see. And we've got 2 sort of suggested things here. So you can search magazines by topic area. Like I was saying, everybody loves airline magazines. You can just click here. And then you're going to see, if the internet agrees with me, you're going to see an opportunity to scroll down and see all of the different airline magazines. So because I'm logged in as my admin access, you're probably seeing a little bit more than you usually would see just on your own, because I can see both the limited and full at all time. The other thing you can do is you can search magazines by geographic area. And this isn't necessarily where the magazine is based. This is the kind of things that are covered in the magazine. And so this might, you know, you might find a magazine that's international because it's Be Inspired, which is the Brussels Airway magazine, but they do a lot of European coverage, so we'll file that under Europe. And then if you scroll down, you're going to see all of the entries, starting with the most recent entries. And then if you get all the way to the bottom of the page, you have some more options. So you can put a specific word in. So you could type profile and then see all the magazines that have different types of profiles. And that's the kind of thing you would do if you're pitching idea first, right? So that's not what we're doing today, but this is something that you can do. You can type profile, you can type drinks. And the other thing is, if you're trying to search for things like profile and drinks that are more general categories, you can also click on the tags. Like, here's a photography magazine, and we've tagged that it takes photo essays. If you're looking for something topical, you know, here's something, a magazine that has a section on beer, so we've marked beer. And then the other thing is, every different category that we use is also accessible here on the bottom, as well as we've got sort of a short version over here on the side. And what we're going to add soon is that every article will go into one, so we can start looking. I'm going to look at Delta Sky. So every article in the magazine breakdown talks about the different types of magazines that are available for pitches. And so something that I'm going to be adding that'll be online next week is that all of the different types of articles, and for those of you that were with us last week, remember I talked about there's food profiles and business profiles and features and shorts and news briefs and different things like that. Those are soon going to be tagged. So you can search specifically by, okay, I have a news brief to pitch. Let me see who all is looking for news briefs, okay? All right, so when you do click into a magazine, this is what you see. You're going to land on the description tab. And so for every magazine, to start to sort of ground you, we include the really sort of overview information, which can help you weed something out immediately. So for instance, if this magazine was only yearly, but if you have a sort of timely pitch, you don't want to pitch them because it's not going to make sense. But since this is monthly, that means they need a lot of content, and that's great for us. And so we also have a little bit here about the editorial positioning. And this is always great to look at, because I know sometimes people, like I said, get really attached to a certain idea and they want to pitch it to a magazine that they've just been dying to pitch. But it's a very, very adventurous, independent traveler sort of concept for a magazine that's really more about group tour-oriented travel experiences. Okay, so it's always good to check this to see. And we use the magazine's own words here because of this, to see what the magazine thinks is their branding, okay? Because you, if you pitch something that's not in that, it's going to be hard for the editor to say yes to you. And then if it's possible to read magazine issues, the full issue online, we say it here. This is one that, because it's an airline magazine, you can find the full issues online. For a lot of the consumer magazines, like a Backpacker or a Travel and Leisure, this is much harder. And so we'll say if there's a place where you can see partial issues online, and then where you can get full issues online paid. And so we always have something here, unless there's a very rare couple number of indie magazines that there's just absolutely no way to get them online whatsoever, because that's their business model. All right, so then the other thing that's really important to double check when you pitch to make sure that you're not off base is these demographics, okay? Because so Delta, they say that their audience is made up of affluent vacationers and business professionals who are socially active, quality conscious, and ambitious. And I have a lot of friends that are like Delta fanatics, and I have to say that is really pretty true. And they are not the same people who fly on American, and they're not the same people who fly on United. So the split between male and female is pretty even, but you'll see with some of the other magazines it's really not. And that can also be really great to know. Not that you're going to go and pitch a girlfriend getaway to Garden and Gun, but you might have something that, being whether it's shopping oriented or maybe it's just a cooking experience or something that might be, you know, a little less attractive to a magazine editor whose readers are primarily male, this is good just to check in. And also likewise with the median age and income, because you might be pitching something that's too expensive for the average readers of the publication. I'm going to skip the how to pitch for 1 second because we're going to come back there. But in the contact information, here we have the email format for every magazine. I think there's a very tiny number that we don't have email formats for that we're working on. And then we have the editors, but we don't list every single editor. We only list the editors that would actually be useful for you to pitch an article to. All right, now the sort of meat and potatoes, like I've popped over here before, of the database is this how to pitch section. And we include two things here. We include the editorial structure, which really kind of tells you the order so that you know what's short. Everything in the front of book is going to be shorter, and from the beginning up, it's shortest to longest, right? So I think One City, Five Ways is actually several pages. In the Wheels Up, these are very, very short, just a couple hundred words. So it's important to know this order because they always sort of rise in word length over time. And then we have in the What to Pitch section, we say approximately how many contributors there are per issue. This is really important for you to know because you need to know how much competition you have in a certain way because, you know, I think we all struggle with how much time to spend on our pitches. And I'm the hugest, hugest aficionado of not spending so much time on your pitches. But if you're trying to pitch a magazine that Delta, fortunately, has a lot of contributors, but what if you're trying to pitch something that only has two sections open to freelancers and it's a huge newsstand magazine? You're going to have to put together a very, very polished, perfect pitch for that magazine as opposed to something that is also a newsstand magazine but regional and has 20 freelance contributors per issue, right? Because those editors are more desperate for ideas than the ones I mentioned formerly. Okay, so in the What to Pitch section, we break down which sections are available to freelance writers, and then which sections are not available to freelance writers. So these ones are written by members of staff. And then it's not so much applicable to you guys, but we have some PR people who use the database. And in here we say who the regular contributors for each section that is written by staff are, in case there's a regular contributor, so the PR people know how to pitch them. So that's why that's in there, guys. And then we go into very, very specific coverage of how to pitch each section. So this is what we're going to focus on for the rest of the call, is looking at the different magazines that we're going to talk about through this lens. So I talked earlier about One City, Five Ways. So One City, Five Ways showcases a city from the standpoint of a sports fan, an adventurist, a foodie, a historian, and picks different places to stay, places to eat, and activities for morning, afternoon, and evening. So it's got a lot of stuff. But then if you look, it's very brief. So you have to be very, very focused in this article. And so what this also means is that the word count of the article is informing our pitch. So if we send a 700-word pitch for this 700-word article, the editor's not going to be very happy because they're going to think that you don't know how to write concisely, which is what this jam-packed article absolutely needs. So having the word length spelled out is also a really good metric for yourself to go back and double check that your pitch is not out of whack with the type of writing that is necessary for the article at hand. All right, so I'm going to actually just flip the order a little bit, and I'm going to go first with the magazines that you guys have asked about, and then we're going to go do the airline approach. And so while I'm going through the magazines that you guys have asked about, if anybody else has asked about or has any other magazines that they want to look at, let me know. And in order to help with the airline approach, now that I've explained it, if you guys have some places that you've been that you're like, what can I pitch? Like, what magazines can I pitch for this very, very random place? Please drop those over in the questions while I'm going through the magazine so that we can, I've got some ideas for that. Otherwise, I'll use some of my own off the top of my head, but I'd love to have some from you guys that we can look at and start to workshop. Okay, so I'm going to go through the top of the list. Okay, so the first one, so somebody asked for Travel and Leisure, which I know that we just added recently. And I'm going to just go through and open these all and queue them all up. So we've got Travel plus Leisure. We've got somebody who asked for Departures. Now, Tamara, do you mean there's actually two different Departures magazines. Are you talking about the American Express one? Do you know which one? Do you know that there's two? Or if so, are you asking for American Express? Let me know in the chat box. Okay, and then somebody else has asked for International Living, which I know that we have. I hurt my finger, so pardon my slow typing, you guys. And then, let's see, we've got the edible franchise pubs. Okay, so Jerry, is there a particular edible that you're interested in? Because we've got a few already in full breakdowns, so let me know if that would help. Otherwise, I'll just pull up a couple random ones. And then Sunset, I know we also have. Okay, are there any more? We got Yankee. Yep, Kathy, I'm pretty sure I have Yankee. Yeah, and we've talked about that. Okay, great, Joe. That's useful. Okay, I'll look into this UAE airport. If anybody else has any airports, chime those in on the side. Okay, so I've got Sunset. I'm gonna look for an edible. Jerry, let me know if there's a specific edible, and then Yankee, we're gonna pull up, and then we'll start doing this. All right. I think that's a good number for this. So when you're pitching magazines, magazine first and then ideas, like I said, you can either start with a specific magazine that you absolutely desperately want to get into, or you can either take the database or you can go to the bookstore and just sort of root around through a big pile of magazines and assemble for yourself a loaded gun. So we're going to use the magazines that we've got here to do a little bit of both of those approaches, and then we're going to circle back to the airport approach. All right. If you've got one more, I'll pull up one more magazine and then I'm going to stop pulling up magazines. All right. None in particular, Jerry says. Okay. Not the American magazine, the luxury travel magazine. Okay. Let me just see if we have that departures and then we'll get going. And the thing is that you'll notice that as we go through them, there's, like I said, a large variety of numbers of contributors, okay? So there's some things that, no, it looks like it's not in here. I'll add it to the list though, because departures is something that a lot of people have questions about, and because it only goes to people who have a high-level American Express credit card, it's hard to get. So I'll work on getting one of those. Okay, so you'll notice that as we go through these, there's a large difference in the numbers of contributors per magazine, and that should definitely inform the quality of your pitch, but also it might inform the quantity of your pitches. So unless you're absolutely dying to break into a magazine, if you see that they don't really have that many contributors, it might not be worth your time. Because what I really try to always counsel people to do, and this is a big recurring theme in the six-figure travel writing roadmap, is to only go after editors, whether that's editors, content management editors at a travel company that you're doing some blog posts for, or editors of a travel magazine, to only go after editors that you're going to do a lot of work with. And this is one of the reasons that I highlighted Jordan Heller earlier, because, like I said, he's not only the editor of United's Hemispheres magazine, he's also the editor of United's Rhapsody magazine and the new Amtrak magazine, and I think also a couple other little magazines. He might be the editor of Brussels Airways as well. Because with custom magazines, and you also see this a lot of times with trade magazines, editors typically have several magazines that they're working on. So if you pitch them to one magazine, you can often end up getting assignments in many other magazines without having to build new relationships. So that's one way of going about maximizing the amount of future work that you can get from your pitching relationship building. But the other way is to just avoid spending a disproportionate amount of your time pitching magazines that don't really use a lot of contributors. Okay? All right. So let's dig into Travel and Leisure. So say we want to break into Travel and Leisure, which of course we all do. And I know sort of through some little sources, although this editor isn't there anymore, but Amy Farley, who used to be at Travel and Leisure, and I think now is at Business Week or something, was always saying how she is kind of desperate for stuff for her front of book. And the thing is that a lot of times, sort of seasoned freelance writers don't like to write the front of book articles because you end up doing the same amount of work, both in terms of research and writing and self-editing and also doing edits with the editors, for a small piece as you do for a large piece. And to long-standing freelance writers, they're like, well, I would just rather get the assignment for the large piece. But if you are new to a magazine, what that means is that there's a lot of opportunity up front. And this is one of the reasons that when I'm editing the database entries with our writers, I really push them to break down all of the different things that you can pitch to the different front of book sections. So what we noticed when we were doing Travel and Leisure is that they have this section Here and Now, which, as she says, there's about 7 500 to 600 word pieces, and about three or four of these are written by contributors. So these are really like little snippets of different things, and they're kind of all over the place, which makes it a little hard to pitch, but also it makes it kind of good in a way because you just kind of never know what they might take. So they're really focused on what's new and what's trending, right? And so, for instance, Hawaii hits the mainland. Who has not heard about the poke craze, right? Like, I can't tell you, like, every time I turn the corner in New York City, there's a new poke spot, right? So they recently had an article about Hawaii hits the mainland, about Hawaiian chefs who have moved to their mainland to bring native food, not just poke, but also other things like spam musabi and things like that. And so if you are trying to break into travel and leisure, this here and now section can be a great place for you to fit those sort of little things that you randomly see on the road or that you just catch wind of. In fact, I completely forgot to email myself this last night, but I walked by a place here in New York that is a opportunity for you to essentially like 3D print yourself. So they have little, I don't even know, like mini statues of people's family. This is clearly for the rich Upper East Side Gossip Girl set. But you can give them a photo, like a family photo or a painting if you're that kind of person, and they will 3D print it for you. And so, you know, that for a super, super luxury magazine could be a great front of book thing about the perfect souvenir to get while you're in New York City or something, right? And so sometimes when you're just walking around and you see something that just seems so new, or like you've finally seen enough of them that you're sure it's a trend, that can be a great thing to pitch to this front of book section for a magazine like Travel and Leisure. Okay, now otherwise in Travel and Leisure, we've got Beyond. This is a compilation of stories surrounding a personal experience by the author in a specific destination. So I really like this example that she used here at home on Hvar, and I'm probably butchering that because I don't know Croatian. But it's about how the author's perspective on Hvar changed from when he visited as a college student, and how it changed and didn't when he returned years later. And so these come in two formats. They come in 500 words or 1,500 words. And Travel and Leisure pays, as we see down here, $2 a word. So, you know, 500 words is pretty great. And essays can be hard to place. So if you are looking to break into Travel and Leisure and you have something like this, these sort of echo experiences, like you were there when you're younger and now you're back, are very, very well followed for this sort of thing. Editors really love them. So I don't know how many people could really say you were there as a college student. I think in Croatia that would work. In Florence, Italy, where I used to go to school, maybe not so much. But maybe if your parents were in the Foreign Service or you had a relative that lived on a kibbutz in Israel or something like that, that's probably a great type of thing that you could stick in here. And so if we were looking, for instance, at this magazine and saying, okay, how can we pitch it? We've got these front of book things, we've got this Beyond essay. The features, since we're talking about Travel and Leisure, I'm just going to say don't expect to pitch a feature right out of the bat and get in with them. All of the big magazines that we're about to look at, that's probably not the best strategy. You want to start somewhere else. We will look at some magazines you can pitch features to, though. So we've got Here and Now, this Beyond, and then there's this Upgrade section and Worth Flying For, which are both quite short, but they're also very easy to fit different things in. So Upgrade, we talked about in the call last week, and this is around tips and strategies for how to travel. And they have to be quite general because Travel and Leisure is an international magazine with a quite broad focus. And so that's the kind of thing that if you're on an airplane and you sort of overhear a couple conversations about the same thing. Maybe it's a trend of how parents are now, you know, actually taking red-eye flights because the newborns sleep on red-eye flights because the planes are quieter or something. Then you could say, you know, how the new planes are helping your kids sleep at night, something like that. Worth Flying For is a 200-word second-person article about a dish that you must try. This is the kind of thing that you can apply in a lot of different places that you're traveling to. So let's say we're going to TBEX in Israel, and we want to pitch Travel and Leisure. What can we do here? All right. So if you are trying to pitch in advance of your trip, you can look at Beyond. Do you have a personal connection to the destination? If you do, maybe if you went on one of the programs to Israel when you were young, and now you're going back as a travel writer with a full different view of the destination and also in a very different time for Israel, especially with the recent events going on right now, that could be a great story, especially because of the time peg of what's going on right now with the UN. We can also look at Worth Flying For. We can do a little research in advance about what is the best place in Jerusalem to have hummus, right? You can talk about, or Dr. Shakshuka. Shakshuka is a very famous Israeli dish. So you can talk about how Dr. Shakshuka's Shakshuka, which is a tomato egg sort of wood-fired grilled dish is worth flying for. Or for here and now, we can look at what is the 3D printed souvenir of Jerusalem or of Tel Aviv or of Haifa, right? So this year is a major anniversary year for Israel. So perhaps you could find out what are the festivals that they're doing around that or some other events that they're doing that would fit in the here and now section. But keep in mind that anytime you're pitching something that's super timely, like a very big anniversary, you have to be well ahead of the curve. So since we're in December right now, to pitch something that's sort of more generally about Israel's big anniversary next year of independence is probably a little late. But if you could find, a friend of mine used to be in the army, she was a tour guide, and she, the place that she guided her tours was essentially like the seat of a big independence movement. It was where they relocated a lot of settlers, and it became one of the first kibbutzims, and so on and so forth. And so that's the kind of thing where you could maybe highlight that historic place, one specific place, and the events that they're doing, and still get something in for a 2017 anniversary if you're pitching right now. All right, so that's travel and leisure. So let's pop over to international living. So say we want to get published in International Living. Now, this is a magazine that uses quite a few contributors every month, if I'm not mistaken. 20 contributors every issue. It doesn't surprise me. I've written for them. I have a lot of other friends that have written for them. So they have a lot of very specific types of articles that they look for, okay? So they've got this International Dates, which is around an event that takes place during the month. So this is the kind of thing where, like I was talking about, if you were going to TBEX in Israel, then you can look at some of these anniversaries coming up and you can pitch something for that. That would be perfect. Also, I've mentioned on some other calls how I went to this, I don't even know the right way to describe it, but this religious festival in Japan that happens every 7 years where they ride a tree down a very, very steep hill. And, you know, I could hold on to that in 7 years from now on the right month. I could pitch that to the International Date section in International Living. The Savvy Traveler's Corner, a 300 to 350 word article on the inside scoop of what to do in a particular location. This is the kind of thing that is perfect for the loaded gun approach, right? So you could know that International Living is always looking for the inside scoop of a full day's worth of activities. So what that means is that you could be doing your freelance assignments in an article, in a cafe in London, and ask the barista or overhear some people and ask them some questions about what are the best things to do in central London and jot those down, go around and get some prices on different tours, take some pictures of different destinations. And there was just like half hour of walking around and some background listening while you're working on your work, you've got a Savvy Traveler's Corner. Offshore and finance for them, these are more, these might be appropriate for some of you guys, but they're much more oriented towards people who are investing overseas and things like that, so I'm going to skip over that one. But lifestyle is a great one to work out for. Lifestyle is a 1,000-word section about an individual or couple that is living their retirement lifestyle abroad. This is a great type of loaded gun section. If you just know that there's a magazine that takes this, and I've seen a couple other different ones like this around working on the database lately, then when you're sitting around, like I said, in a cafe doing your freelance writing or in the hotel lobby, this is why you should totally write outside of your hotel room when you're traveling because you get great ideas. I love to write in the hotel lobby in the evening. So if you're sitting in the hotel lobby and you hear, you know, this couple talking to their friends who are staying at the hotel, but they've come to visit this couple that's been living in this destination for a long time because they retired there, you know, when they were 45 and the husband got out of military service, then you could just say, hey, excuse me, like it sounds like you've got a really great story. Do you mind if I interview you for this magazine article? Get their contact information, pitch the editor, say you've already gotten the go-ahead to interview the person, and there you go, you've got an article. So, like I said, this is a really, really great loaded gun sort of section here. Real estate, oh my God. Real estate is another really good kind of loaded gun topic area within travel that I wish more people would take advantage of. The I think it's now called the International New York Times, but the International New York Times is now called, has a really great real estate section, and it can be a really good way to get a New York Times clip. They're always looking for sort of iconic, but not necessarily like a celebrity owned it or something, but you know, a castle in Tuscany or a big old farmhouse, or in Provence, something like this, like these really, really beautiful houses that are on sale. And so as I'm traveling around, I always look in the windows of the real estate offices everywhere and see if there's some crazy, interesting thing there that I can maybe reach out to the person and do an article on that. So here you'll see International Living has one, and this is more narrative than what I was saying about a particular property focus. But what that means is that if you just happen to, like I said, be walking around and looking in the shop windows and noticing that the prices somewhere are super out of whack. I was in Montepulciano, which is a very adorable little hill country, hills town in Italy. That's an area that's very, very known for its wine. The views are beautiful. The place is awash with tourists. And we looked at the property prices, and they were so low we couldn't believe it. So that might be, you know, the secret way to get a hill town apartment in Tuscany. Like, there you go. There's the story for the real estate section, International Living. So here's one real estate section, but there's several other around that are really great loaded gun article types to hold on to. All right, solutions. This is similar to what we were just talking about in Travel and Leisure, but this one is more around the issues that International Living covers, which is retiring abroad or generally moving abroad. And so this one is facing retirees abroad. So this is again the kind of thing that when you're sitting in the cafe or the bar or the hotel lobby and you hear people going, "Oh my God, like, have you done your visa run yet this month?" or something like that, then you know it's a great concept for the solutions here. We're getting a little close to the end of our time, so I'm not going to go through all of it, but I'm just going to sort of slowly go through here. Again, they have another one about investments and profits. They have collectibles, and I think this is a typo because I don't think they have a 10,000-word story, but this is another great one I wanted to highlight. It's on antiques and collectibles from a specific region. Like, I noticed that when you are in Japan, you can get an obi, which is the very fanciful tie that Japanese women put on their kimonos, that's actually very, very long. You can get used obis quite inexpensively as a tourist because Japanese people would never wear a used obi. They would never buy one. And so that's a really great collectible item that you can get. And that's the kind of thing that you might just walk around and see a lot of these things and go, "Huh, I didn't know you could get that thing here." And then you know that's the kind of thing that you could pitch to this section. All right, so we're going to pop over now to Sunset. So Sunset, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a magazine that focuses on the American West, okay? And they actually have several different issues depending on the specific geographic area. So one of the things that that means is that this a couple of their front of book sections, particularly A Perfect Day In, I'm pretty sure, they do a different one each issue for their five sections. So the editors actually need five different A Perfect Days every month. So that's a really good one to keep in mind, because what that means is that no matter where you are in the West, you might actually be able to pitch them multiple things for this section every month. So if you live out there or travel out there often, especially if you're based there and do a lot of random little day trips, this is a really great loaded gun section to keep in mind. But if you look, you'll see it's very, very short, right? It's 400 words. And so, like I said, we want to make sure that the length of the section dictates our pitch. We don't want our pitch to be longer than the length of the section. Whereas Wanderlust is much longer. It's first person. So this is the kind of thing where if you are in the Western states and you just had a really crazy experience, that might make a good Wanderlust article. So they've also got another great food and drink one here. Food and drink things are some of the best loaded gun articles. Especially, I've seen a lot of people asking me lately about drink, like cocktail, or specific like craft distillery oriented things. And there's several different, we featured them in the last call, but there's several different magazines like Rogue Report and other high-end travel magazines like that have specific sections about that. So, you know, I was just looking up restaurants in the Hudson Valley where our writing retreat center is, and I was on Hudson Valley Magazine's, you know, Best Of that a lot of these regional magazines do, and they had the best bourbon, and I had no idea that the Hudson Valley was even known for bourbon enough to have the best bourbon. So now that's something that I need to look into where I can place that, right? So that means that if I had a good loaded gun of drinks articles, I would know right away, oh, okay, well, this is where they feature, you know, the best craft distilleries in a certain area, or this is where they feature a drink that you wouldn't expect to be distilled in a certain area. All right, and so another thing is I know that Sunset does work with new writers for their feature articles, but the thing to keep in mind is that whenever you have a magazine that's a bit lifestyle And some of the airline magazines are more lifestyle, some are more travel oriented. Sunset is one of these lifestyle travel hybrid magazines. You also get, we've got some other ones in the database like that. In the South, there's Savannah and Garden and Gun. In New York, we have, New York Magazine, some other ones like that. Hudson Valley that I was talking about is another good example. Minnesota Monthly, 5280, ones like that are also great examples. Anytime you've got something like that, sometimes the features there need to be something that you found on your travels, but you expand in a way that's not quite travel oriented. So Sunset has a lot of food coverage. They also have a lot of garden coverage. So for Sunset, something that could be a great feature is not just a tour of a particularly fascinating historic garden, but a historic garden that's attached to a historic home, and you've interviewed the people who lived there in the past, and now it's gone to a nonprofit and the people who caretake it, and you sort of talk about the evolution of the garden in a more narrative sense, from being a family property to being a place of learning. And it's got both the travel service and that narrative and profile elements all woven in there. So, like I said, as you'll see, their features have run quite the gamut. Okay, so let's pop over to Edible Magazine that Jerry asked about. Jerry, I couldn't find the one that you, we don't have a full entry on the one that you asked about because I don't have a copy of it, but I'm just going to show the Manhattan one for now. So the Edible franchise, if you guys aren't familiar, I think there's even like 87 of them now. There's quite a few, and they are really, really good loaded gun articles. Like I was talking about how food and drink are really great things to keep in your back pocket. I really like the Edible magazines for that. In fact, I try to pick them up everywhere I go because of this, because there's ones on really specific subsections. I think in New York City, there's ones for Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan. And then there's one for the Hudson Valley. And then there's one for Central New York. And there's one for Long Island. There might even be a separate one for the Hamptons. And that's all within like a 2-hour driving range. And I've seen the same thing in a lot of other states as well. So they are great opportunities to build ongoing relationships. And again, they don't tend to be, even though they're a franchise, they don't tend to be so related that one editor will edit multiple ones, but sometimes that's the case, and you can also use that as an in with another Edible publication. So in the Edible Manhattan that I've got here, you'll see that a lot of the things that they use freelancers for are shorter. And one of the things that I've noticed in a lot of the different Edible publications is this notable edibles, and that's featuring a distinguished company. So one of the great sort of loaded gun pocket articles that you can do for edibles is to just keep your eye out when you're on the road for new companies or very interesting companies or storied companies that have a very close tie to local food, whether that's reviving a trend. So for instance, like there's a barbecue food tour company in Kansas City that was actually the first food tour company to do barbecue tours in Kansas City, even though they were quite late to the food tour market. There's a distillery in Minnesota that tries to get everything from 100 kilometers, but they make gin, which uses tropical botanicals. And so they've done some really interesting out-of-the-box things using citrus shoots, or like the very first green leaves of, or sorry, of the cypress tree to create that citrus flavor. Very random. So whenever you hear about an interesting food thing, that might be a good fit for these sections in the notables. And so this is a really great thing to add to your loaded guns. Okay, so I'm going to pop over. Oh, we're going to look at Yankee quickly for Kathy. All right, so for Yankee, this, if you're not familiar, it is an independent magazine, but it's a newsstand magazine. It's quite well known. It's been around for decades, that covers the northeastern part of the U.S. So they use quite a few contributors, and they use several contributors in the front of the book. This has a lot of different sections that are great rubrics. And so there they have one that's only in New England, which is a regular column by somebody, and the best five and local treasure. These are very specific rubrics. So the best five is a roundup of five of the best things to do in New England around a certain theme. So, pumpkin festivals, farm inns, these are the kind of things that you might travel and stay at one thing. And I've talked a lot about how editors love baskets of kittens, which is an assembly of, three, five different things that are all pretty great on their own, but when you put them together and you add a nice geographic distribution on top of that, it's a no-brainer for editors. So this best five, for instance, is a really good back pocket thing. If you go somewhere that has, pear picking instead of apple picking, you're like, huh, that's neat. I wonder if anybody else has it. And you have a couple more, that might be a good best five. For travel, so you'll see that their travel section is entirely around a first-person feature. So this is great to know because often I think people, like I said, travel in a specific geographic area and they're like, oh, what can I do with this? And we're going to look at the airport technique in a second. But this is a great thing to keep in mind. Okay, I know that Yankee Magazine is in the Northeast, so if I have to go to a family reunion or my husband has a conference and I'm up there or something like that and I find an experience that can be a great feature article, that's a good fit for Yankee Magazine. Okay, we're going to skip over for a second and do airports. If anybody else has an airport, let me know, because I think the one that Joe gave me might be a little hard, but I'm going to look it up. So, interestingly, I think that the small airports tend to be a little easier to find the airlines on. A lot of times the large airports have a lot of different information going on, and they don't just sort of succinctly link to all the airlines that fly there. Oh, but there's, oops, we just missed it. Skyscanner said the specific airlines that fly there. And they don't say it so easily here, but I'm just going to pop back to that Skyscanner. And then I'm also going to look up one or two other airports. So there's this Stewart Airport over by me in the Hudson Valley, which my relative just flew in for Thanksgiving. And I couldn't believe that they were able to get a flight from Charlotte directly in there. And then I realized, well, Charlotte is an airport hub or airline hub, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. So, Joe, so Qatar Airways flies into, I'm going to butcher this, Ras Al Khaimah Airport. And Qatar Airways has a lovely, very luxury magazine. So I'm not quite sure what the focus of your article would be, but you can go check out Qatar Airways magazine, which should be available, like a lot of the inflights are, online, and then look through its specific sections. For, this is Stewart Airport that I was talking to you guys about. Stewart Airport is served by Delta Connection. And so what that means is, I've lost the tab now, but Stewart can do Delta or American or JetBlue, all of which have great airlines or great airline magazines. And so, you know, if you were to go back to the Delta magazine that I had before, knowing now that you can fly, that Delta applies to Stewart, we can take one city five ways. So this seems like it takes really big cities, but what can we do in here that has a smaller city, right? So let's say I was writing about something up in the Catskills where the house was. So it's out of the city. So that cuts out trending. What else can we do? We can do 5 minutes with. Not so much, right? Maybe breakaway. Okay, this is the final subsection written by a contributor. 500 words by getting out of the city and into nature. Perfect, right? So since we know that they are already looking for things that are outside of the city, and we know they also fly into Stewart, which is the airport up in Hudson Valley, we can talk about sailing on the Hudson. We can talk about there's a bridge, there's a state park around a bridge that allows you to walk across the Hudson. These are the kind of things that you can worm in off into the front of book section, because those are the places where editors are more likely to sort of take not a chance, but to take something that's a little more specific geographically and know that they're safe, because they're not going to alienate readers by having 4 or 5 pages about a very tiny, tiny island that's hard to get to, for instance. And I'm so delighted to have had the opportunity to hang out with you guys today. Literally, like, it was crummy when I started talking to you, and now there's a beautiful, beautiful golden sunset. So you've all made my day, and thank you so much for coming out.